Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is as bad as Fridays. That song Fridays that Ryan always used to play. This is just as bad. Listen, this is William Shatner.
Rocket Man, burning out his fuse out here alone.
He's not intoxicated. He wasn't stoned. And you know, if he were, maybe that would be a very valid explanation for that, which is the most cringeworthy thing I've ever seen. You know, you've seen the whole issue, the metaphor of the three monkeys of hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil. I wish I never saw that. You can't unsee William Shatner singing Rocket Man. And in case you just want to see the most cringeworthy thing you've ever witnessed in your entire life, go to YouTube, put in William Shatner Rocket Man. You won't even have to type in Rocket Man. Because when I went there today, I just put in William Shatner and Rocket Man was the first thing that came up. So everyone on the planet knows this is cringeworthy. It's worth watching because I always have this theory about movies. I love really bad movies. And Mike, have you ever seen Plan 9 from Outer Space? Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
Okay. It's universally revered as the worst movie of all time. And you've never seen it. I'm going to have to bring you an archival DVD copy of Plan 9 from Outer Space. It's really bad. And the reason why it's bad is because the guy who wrote it, directed it, and produced it, Ed Wood, thought he was making a masterpiece. And yet it's the worst movie of all time. It's crazy bad. And then there's a movie called Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, which, have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
I'm dropping all these movie names, Mike. You've never seen them.
I've seen the bad movies from the 90s and
okay,
and the aughts.
From the aughts. Well, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes is a bad movie, but to me, it's not anywhere near as entertaining because they made it to be a bad movie. In other words, from the get-go, it was intended to suck. That was its intention. And they achieved it, but there's something inherently more entertaining when someone thinks they're creating a masterpiece and it's really just a pile of you know what. That to me is inherently more entertaining. William Shatner singing Rocket Man is the Plan 9 from Outer Space of musical performances. I kid you not. You need to go and watch it, but of course, wait till after I'm off the air at 11 o'clock. But it is truly, truly amazing. So I think that this incident with William Shatner, at least in my humble opinion, is the greatest PR stunt since Amelia Earhart flew across the Atlantic Ocean in the, 1930s. That was a stunt. She wasn't that great of a pilot, but it was unique. It was interesting because it was she was a woman, had never been done before, and so some backers hired her to fly across, and there's some dispute as to whether she even flew all the way across the Atlantic or not. And, of course, we all know that she eventually crashed her plane and still haven't found her yet. So I'm not suggesting that William Shatner about crashed that with Jeff Bezos's spacecraft. However, this was a stunt. It was clearly designed to advertise commercial space travel for the entertainment industry of Blue Origin to bring space travel as something that people do for fun, for vacations. And so Shatner got to do this. He did it for free. Someone was filming it. They're making a documentary out of it. The PR ringing from this is not over. It's going to continue. But this is the greatest PR stunt since Amelia Earhart flew across the Atlantic. But what isn't a stunt, and I don't think this was a stunt at all, when Shatner actually returned to Earth, and I made a joke earlier about what he said in the pre-flight press conference, which is really just something I pulled off of a previous Star Trek episode that was another squirrely speech given by William Shatner. But this is legit. This is what Shatner said the moment he touched down from going into space. This is what he said.
The covering of blue, this sheet, this blanket, this comforter of blue that we have around. We think, oh, that's blue sky. And then suddenly you shoot through it all of a sudden, as though you whip off a sheet off you when you're asleep, and you're looking into blackness, into black ugliness. And you look down, there's the blue down there.
I'm laughing.
And the black up there, and it's just, there is Mother and Earth and comfort, and is there death? I don't know. Is that death? Is that the way death is? Whoop, and it's gone. Jesus. It was so moving.
It was so moving. Mike, what did you think of hearing Shatner describe his space experience?
Oh, man, I don't know what to make of that. There's a lot to unpack there.
Well, have you ever seen the movie Over the Hedge, animated movie?
I may have seen parts of it. I don't know.
Well, again, Bruce Willis, but William Shatner's in it, and he plays a possum. And all he does during the movie is fake that he's dying. And, of course, when he does it very dramatically as William Shatner does, and he makes these big dying scenes. And that entire speech sounded like something he said in Over the Hedge when he was the voice of a possum. Because that's the way he was playing the possum. But talking about death, is this the way death is? He did that a lot in Over the Hedge. So, but yeah, that was a legitimate, I don't think he was putting that on. That was his actual response to going into space. And I'm sure that it is very awe-inspiring to see the Earth from that perspective. But let's not be confused. This was and is and shall continue to be a PR stunt that has been matched by none other. Did you see the launch, and what did you think about seeing if you like Star Trek, seeing Captain Kirk go into space for real? Did that have any particular meaning to you, or was it just, yeah, that's just somebody who's shilling for doing an advertisement for Jeff Bezos to make more money for a billionaire? What were your thoughts? 314-436-7900. Phone lines are open. Text line is open. We want to hear from you at your service on KMOX.
Next Level Listening. News Radio 1120 AM, 98.7 FM. KMOX. The voice of St. Louis.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a tough question. This is not like an ACT question, not like a physics question, not like something that the astrophysicist that we had earlier in the show could answer. No. This is not hard. Can you name the three branches of government? Of course you can. If you're listening to KMOX, you're smart, okay? Of course you are. And if I ask you, can you name the three branches of government? Obviously, you can. What's shocking, though, is two things. First, poll came out yesterday, published by the University of Pennsylvania Annenberg Public Policy Center, and it said that 56% of Americans can name the three branches of government. Only 56%. Now, that stat in of itself is stunning, because I promise you that there's a higher percentage of Americans that can name more than three members of the Kardashian family. So, and that just shows you what's more important, the three branches of government, or who is, you know, I can't even name any beyond Kim Kardashian. That's the only one I can name. That shows you how out of touch I am. But I can't name the three branches of government. But here's the second part of this poll that to me is rather scary, is that that's actually one of the highest percentages in the last 15 years, is 56%. In 2006, it was just 33% of respondents could accurately name the three branches of government. 33%. Now, how many of these people are voting? I mean, I know we can't restrict voting, and I would never want to restrict voting on someone and have some sort of a test for voting. That would be un-American. It would violate the Constitution. I wouldn't want to do that. But just remember, folks, we got people voting who know more members of the Kardashian family than can name the three branches of government. And when you think about it in those terms, you kind of look around and go, well, you know, I understand why some of these people get elected to office when you've got those kinds of numbers. Now, let me break this down, because there's some more information from this poll that truly helps you understand why our country is so often in the position that we are currently in. Because I'm looking here, the First Amendment of the Constitution, 3/4, 74% stated that the First Amendment protects freedom of speech. Okay, great. 74%. That's a great number. I mean, I don't know why it's not 100%, but you couldn't get 100% of the people to know that Tuesday follows Monday. Okay, so 74%, that's fine. I'll take it. However, only 56% of people knew that the First Amendment also protects religion. Only 50% could identify that it protects the press, the freedom of the press. Right to assembly, it drops to 30%. And the right to petition, that's nobody ever does that, but it's at 20%. Okay, I get that. But at least 74% of Americans know that the First Amendment protects the freedom of speech. But here's where this kind of veers off into left field, and I don't mean that from a political left field. 61% of Americans incorrectly stated that the First Amendment protection of speech pertains to social media. 61% incorrectly stated that it does. Now, if you've heard me talk about freedom of speech issues before here on Camo X, I think that it should apply to Facebook. I think that it should apply to social media. It drives me crazy that private companies can restrict your freedom of speech. Even today, President Trump, and I've voiced my fair share of criticisms of President Trump, but it's absurd that President Trump is not allowed on Facebook. Not only is he not allowed on Facebook or Twitter, but there was a story a few months ago where a relative of his was running for office, and this relative played an audio clip on her Facebook page of President Trump endorsing her, and that was enough to get her kicked off of Facebook. So not only was Trump kicked off, but even the sound of his voice was sufficient to get someone else kicked off of Facebook. That's absurd. And that's ridiculous, and it shouldn't be. But legally, there's nothing wrong with that legally, because the First Amendment does not apply to private companies. Only the government. Only the government. Now, breaking these numbers down, 66% of conservatives, 61% of moderates, and 55% of liberals all believe that the First Amendment covers what you say on Facebook. That, to me, is astounding. Particularly if 61% of conservatives believe, or 66% of conservatives believe that, because the vast majority of information that is taken off of Facebook, it involves the silencing of conservatives. Rand Paul has been kicked off of Facebook. I had a situation where I was being interviewed once years ago on a different radio station, and they were kicked off of Facebook because of something that I said, and it was nothing. I'm a big believer in vaccines. It wasn't even vaccines, but there was something that I said, and I don't recall what it was, but then they kicked me off of Facebook. And I don't even have a Facebook account, thankfully. But my point being is that if you're a conservative today and you're on Facebook and voicing conservative views, you might be kicked off. Ben Stein, you know who he is. He's the guy in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Bueller. Ben Stein, he's an economist. He graduated from Harvard Law School. I think he's about 172 years old. I may be off a little bit. And he got kicked off of YouTube because he was asking whether vaccine mandates are good for the country. And he got kicked off of YouTube for saying that. So conservatives are constantly being kicked off of social media. So I don't understand how 66% of conservatives think that the First Amendment protects what they say on social media. But I'm going to tell you this, and you can track this as it happens. In 2022, Republicans will take over the House of Representatives. The Republicans may also get a complete majority in the Senate. And if that happens, you will see legislation coming from Congress that will prohibit or prevent or at least reduce the kind of censorship that occurs every single day on social media. I think I mentioned this last week when I was in, but it was interesting that Elizabeth Warren about 2 weeks ago had the CEO of Amazon, because Bezos is no longer CEO, had him in front of her committee in Congress, and she was instructing the CEO of Amazon to create an artificial intelligence algorithm so that when people want to buy books that talk about how climate change is not the result of human activity, that they would be redirected to buy different types of books. Let that sink in. The federal government was instructing a private company to keep you from accessing information. Folks, that's pretty scary. That is truly 1984. So that's why I think the First Amendment should apply to social media. But unfortunately, in 2021, that is sadly not the case. When we come back from this break, I am, though, going to play you a clip from Nancy Pelosi talking about her. She was being interviewed at a press conference, and she had some choice words for the press regarding the $3.5 trillion liberal wish list legislation that's being held up right now by Kyrsten Sinema and by Joe Manchin. She kind of, she took the press to the woodshed because they weren't doing their job from her perspective. Brad Young at your service. We'll break that down right after this on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Your home of the Billikens, Chiefs, and Cardinals.
I like sports. Listen to sports.
America's sports voice, KMOX.
Well, I'm just watching on television in here because our studios actually look like the bridge of the Enterprise. You know, I mean, they got all these cameras and we got all these monitors all over. So we're watching a video of Shatner coming back to Earth. And I'm just glad, again, that the other members of his crew weren't wearing red shirts because they would be dead by now, that's for sure. The other thing, too, is if you ever watched Star Trek, the original series, Kirk was always chasing the alien women. He just had a thing for alien women. They were green. They would be what we know, whatever. He was chasing a lot of alien women. And so kind of like, I saw once Bill Clinton talking to a group of cheerleaders, and I thought, girls, you need to run now. And I felt a little uncomfortable for that one woman that was going up in space with Captain Kirk, because if she had green skin, she would have been in trouble. So I'm glad she did not have green skin. That was probably a good thing. Anyway, we're talking about Pelosi. I'm going to get to that in just a second, because one of the interesting stories that came out today was Katie Couric. You remember Katie Couric. She was on the Today Show. She was on NBC News. She was the first, I believe, or maybe the second female anchor of network news. Maybe Connie Chung was the first, but she was the highly paid anchor over on CBS Evening News for many, many, many years. She's got a memoir that's come out called Going There, and she dishes a lot of dirt on the news media. It's a book that I'm eventually going to read. I'll probably get it from the library, so I don't have to give her any money, but I will want to read it eventually. My point is, one of the stories that came out, which leads me back to Nancy Pelosi in just a moment, she tells the story in her book, Going There. Katie Couric writes that she interviewed legendary Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And she interviewed the notorious RBG in like 2016. And she asked Justice Ginsburg about her thoughts and what she thought about, at the time, that was right when Colin Kaepernick was starting the whole kneeling process during the national anthem, and it was kind of starting to be a thing in 2016. So Katie Couric asks Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ginsburg, what she thought about this whole practice of kneeling or not wanting to stand for the national anthem or the American flag. What's fascinating is this. Katie Couric writes in her memoir that she edited out, she intentionally edited out of the interview and did not allow it to be aired, a portion of that interview where Justice Ginsburg said that those who kneel during the national anthem are showing contempt for a government that has made it possible for their parents and grandparents to live a decent life. And that's a quote. But because she didn't want Justice Ginsburg to be cast in a light that was somewhat disparaging to the liberal cause celeb in 2016, she edited that out. So if to think about the ramifications here, that the news media, because she supported Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Katie Couric agreed with the liberal legal positions taken by Justice Ginsburg. She did not want there to be anything that Justice Ginsburg said that would cause her to be disliked by liberals. So because Katie Couric was in the tank for Justice Ginsburg, she edited out that part of the interview. Now, if she were interviewing President Trump, if she were interviewing any conservative, any Republican politician who said something that would cast them in a negative light with their base, don't you think that they would run with that information? I mean, look at the present example. Mitch McConnell has said that the election wasn't stolen. Every time he said that, every news media has run with that. Why? Because it drives a wedge between Mitch McConnell and his Republican base. And because he said that, now President Trump is pushing for someone to run against Mitch McConnell for his seat in the Senate from Kentucky next term. So they were more than willing to do that. But Katie Couric did not want to air something that would drive a wedge between liberal, lion, justice, legal icon Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her liberal, left, progressive base. That's how much the media, the mainstream media, is in the tank for liberals today in America. Why am I going through all that, and what does this have to do with Nancy Pelosi? Well, Nancy Pelosi was talking to a group of reporters. She had a press conference recently. And the press question to Nancy Pelosi was questioning her about the problem that they've got right now with their $3.5 trillion liberal wish list that will pay for medical leave for everyone. It will fund climate change situations where it's going to supposedly fight global warming. It's going to make for green energy. It's going to support green energy, which, of course, they forget that Obama tried that and all the money got flushed because it didn't do anything. Government can't fund companies. It doesn't work. But anyway, the press and the reporter at this press conference was asking Nancy Pelosi why she, Speaker of the House, wasn't doing a better job of selling the benefits of this $3.5 trillion plan. And so when this reporter asked this question of Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, here's what Nancy said.
Well, I think you all could do a better job of selling it, to be very frank with you, because every time I come here, I go through the list. Family and medical leave, climate, the issues that are in there. And but it is true, it is hard to break through when you have such a comprehensive package.
So listen to what she said, and I'm quoting here. Nancy Pelosi told the press, "I think all of you could do a better job of selling this." When did it become the job of the mainstream media to sell proposed legislation for Democrats in Congress? When's that in their job profile? When is that on their to-do list? Where does it describe in their list of job duties and responsibilities that we're supposed to shill for the liberal members of Congress? But Nancy Pelosi understood that, and it was just a brief moment of truth that was squeaking through there for Nancy Pelosi when she said, "I think all of you could do a better job of selling this legislation for us." And so when you look at that, and then you look at it in the context of what Katie Couric did with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it really brings that into focus, how that's what the mainstream media sees as their function today, is to be the mouthpiece and the spokespersons for the Democrat Party in America. Well, one of the things that they're going to have a lot of problems selling, if the media is supposed to be selling these proposals, is in that $3.5 trillion package, which will obviously come down in value because Manchin and Sinema will not allow the $3.5 trillion to go forward. But in that package is a new IRS banking requirement. I talked to the president of the Missouri Bankers Association last week, and we broke down this particular issue where under this proposal, the IRS is going to require banks to report every financial transaction once you exceed $600. Now, that doesn't mean if you do a series of three $500 transactions that those don't get reported. No, no, no. It means if you do a one $500 transaction and another $200 transaction, then every transaction after you spend $600 gets reported to the federal government. Do you really want all of your finances reported to the federal government? Do you want every check, every withdrawal from an ATM, every cash advance, every debit, every credit card bill, every credit card payment? Do you want all of that information sent to Nancy Pelosi in Washington, D.C.? Do you want that? Because that's what you're going to get in this $3.5 trillion bill. And so Nancy Pelosi gave a statement today stating that, well, that $600 is negotiable. In other words, we could, you know, we could move that. We could maybe massage that number up to $800 or maybe even $1,000. But the concept is exactly the same, is that the federal government under this bill wants to have all of your financial data, period. No privacy. What you buy is no longer your own business. They want to know it. And that shows you that from Washington's perspective, your money is not really your money. Your money is their money, and they want to make sure that you're spending it correctly so they can tax you. So make sure you call, make sure that you do something about this bill and make sure that you understand what's in this bill before you vote for people who support it. Brad Young here. We're going to take a break. Our last segment's coming up right after this on At Your Service.
Earning St. Louis's trust for 96 years. This is KMOX.
Mary Lynn has texted me several times tonight. Katie Couric is a washed-up has-been. Just looking for attention. Yes, Mary Lynn, you are exactly right. She's looking to write a book because that's her last opportunity to make some money. And so it's getting a lot of attention. She'll probably sell a lot of her books because she dishes on people. But listen, she's going to be burning a lot of bridges. Of course, she doesn't have to worry about Ruth Bader Ginsburg because she's gone on to that great court up in the sky. But you're right. She is a washed up has-been. Couldn't have said it better myself. But in the last segment, I was talking about Nancy Pelosi's view on your confidential information and how, from their perspective, it doesn't bother them that they're asking you for every detail of your finances. Like a financial proctologist, they want to get they want to know everything, and $600 would do it. But, you know, it's not just Nancy Pelosi, and it's not just this $3.5 trillion gargantuan wish list bill that does that. Because I read today that at Michigan State University, they are reporting and they're starting this reporting system online. And of course, they phrase it in terms of, we're trying to provide a safe and supportive environment for our students on campus. Safe and supportive environment. But when you look at what it is, it's called the Culturally Inclusive College Sharing System, the CIC. Now, in the Navy, the CIC is the Command and Information Control Center, I think is what that is. But now it's talking about Culturally Inclusive College Sharing System, the CIC. And really what this is it's a way for college students to rat out other college students who say anything that makes them uncomfortable. That's really what it is. So even though at a college setting, particularly at the Michigan State University, that is an arm of the Michigan state government, the First Amendment applies to the states through the 14th Amendment. We know that. That's rock solid constitutional law 101. And yet Michigan State University is asking students to rat out and squeal on other students so that Michigan State University can take action against someone who uses speech that they don't approve of. So even though, and I went through earlier, there was this polling data that showed that a high percentage of Americans, 74% of Americans, know that the First Amendment protects our freedom of speech. Apparently, they didn't get that memo over at Michigan State University. They didn't get that. So in this instance now, even if someone says speech, and this is the listing, it says intended to intimidate, demean, mock, degrade, marginalize, or threaten their identities, real or perceived, then the university is going to take action against those students based upon other students ratting them out and squealing on them. So if any kid feels triggered, if any snowflake at Michigan State University feels, that somehow they've been demeaned because a conservative said something to them on campus, or heaven forbid, a Christian said something to them, and they felt demeaned or intimidated, they can report you to the speech police at Michigan State University, who will take action against you. Welcome, my friends, to 1984. Because that's really what it is. And it seems to me like at college, I know when I was in college, that was a place to learn. It was a place for the exchange of ideas. I remember I had a criminal justice class in college where I was the only conservative in the class. All the students were against me and the professor was against me. And the professor said to me, Brad, you realize that 28 of your fellow students in here disagree with you. And I literally said, that's fine. Maybe they should go out and get another 20 or 30 people and then it'll be a fair argument. And she laughed and I got an A in the class. Today that wouldn't happen. I would fail. Because I would probably be reported for, intimidating someone or triggering them if I would happen to say some kind of a conservative or religious statement that made someone uncomfortable. But that's where we are with freedom of speech in America. And how does it tie in with the confidentiality? Well, just like the progressive left doesn't think that you have any privacy in your finances, they also believe that you don't deserve freedom of speech. That they should control your finances and they should control your speech and ultimately, my friends, control your thoughts. That's pretty scary. Thanks for staying up late with us this evening here on At Your Service. We've got coming up, I think it's Our American Stories coming up at 11 o'clock. So you're going to want to stick around for that. You can always download all the programs here at Camo X at odyssey.com on the app. Or listen at 1120 AM, 98.7 FM, or online at odyssey.com. Catch you next Wednesday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.